Bible? I'm healthy as it says I am. That's a new one today, isn't it? Everybody like that one? I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can be what it says I can be. I can have what it says I can have. I can give what it says I can give. I can go where it says I can go. I can learn what it says I can learn. Jesus' name. Amen. You can turn there if you want, but Proverbs 23:7, we're going to talk about the value of thought today. And it says in 23:7, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And if you'd like to go to the next scripture, turn with me to James, the first chapter. I want to talk to you about the value of thought today. And you know, wherever you are in life, it's probably you're there because it started with what you thought you were. I love the quote, I think it was Ben Franklin that said, you know, if you think you can't, you probably can't. How many's ever been there before? You know, if you think you can't, you probably cannot do that, whatever that is. A lot of power in thought, isn't there? How many has ever done this? How many has ever been, you know, you're not real athletic, but on the playground, can you remember some of us, they had playgrounds in my day too, you know. But you can remember back in recess, and maybe if you weren't very athletic, can you remember choosing up teams? Remember this old deal, Red Rover, like what? Dennis, come over, you know, and you try to break the line or whatever you were playing, and some of you weren't very athletic, very fast. And remember when they start choosing up teams, what you thought? I hope I'm not last. Now see, for all you athletic people, you didn't know what we were thinking. Because you never had to deal with that. But so here's what I want you to get out of that. Your situation and what you see and how you perceive it will help mold your thoughts. In fact, I believe your culture is different in Guatemala. They're going to talk about that today with Dr. Johnson and with Pastor Nicholas. They're going to talk about the difference. But culture, how you grew up. If your parents were good parents and they looked at you when you were a child and said, you know, you can be anything you want through the power of Christ, and God's got a great anointing upon you, and He's got a great service for you to do in the kingdom of God. And if you planted that kind of thing in your children and your grandchildren, they probably grew up thinking they could. But then there's other children that grew up and they said, you know, you'll never be worth anything. You'll never amount to anything. Isn't that awful to think that there's kids growing up in our country that have heard that? And so they grow up believing that they're not going to be any good. And then I tell you how powerful your influence is around you and your environment is. You can have a pretty decent environment growing up, and then all of a sudden when you get to adulthood, you get into marriage and your spouse begins to tell you, I can't even believe I married you. You know, start putting all these thoughts inside. And here's what I want you to get. For all of you, you know, that may be struggling in a relationship, here's the thing. We have to change our thinking, and somebody has to start. If you want to have a better relationship, it starts with a thought, doesn't it? Today, before we end, we're going to pray over our list that we collected last week for our Easter list of people that we want to see come to Christ and come to church. And I'm going to give you a little attitude adjustment. Because how many knows, every once in a while we need an attitude adjustment. Everybody say attitude adjustment. And so we're going to talk about inviting friends. How many ever be honest with me and say, you know, when you talk about thinking, what the first time you invited someone to come to church, if you've made more invitations than one or two or three or four, you probably don't have the same attitude toward inviting that person as you did. You probably don't think the same thoughts, do you? The first time you invite someone, it's pleasant, it's lovely, and it's would you come, and you think they will, and they don't. Second time and third time. So we'll talk about that in just a minute, and then we'll have prayer. But it's going to begin with a different kind of thought. So we're going to talk about the value of thought today. Now there's a couple of sources. How many knows sometimes we are the problem? The thoughts, and there's a couple of places that can originate, but sometimes we're just the problem of our own thoughts. How many knows that God gave you the authority and the responsibility to steward your thoughts? We can't blame them on our rebellious teenagers, our cantankerous grandmothers, you know, our spouses not so loving at times. How many knows you have to be the steward of your thoughts? You have to steward your thoughts. And thank God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, we can steward great thoughts in Jesus' name. Can I get that? That's what you're supposed to say. Amen. James, the first chapter. And we're going to look at stewarding our thoughts and how they develop. You know, when we think about God and we think about Job, for instance, and remember one day God was talking and he looked over at Satan and remember what he said about Job? Have you considered my servant Job? There's none like him in all the earth. He's a perfect and an upright man. It means he's complete, he's mature. He's a mature Christian, you know, or Christ-like, God-like. And so he's bragging on him, and he says, you know, you can touch all this, have all this stuff. And so there's, how many know Satan is powerful? You know, we talk about, I've heard preachers talk about Satan's a wimp and all this, but how many knows he is powerful? And I'll show you just how powerful in just a second through the Word of God. So you don't want to take it lightly that there's a powerful force that would love to take you out. And would love to get your thinking all messed up inside of your brain. You know. How many knows he'd like for us to think the worst of each other? Sometimes you'd be preaching along, you know, or teaching or up talking to somebody and they're just looking off, you know, ignoring. Sometimes they'll reach over and start whispering while I'm preaching. And what I used to think when I first started that was, I wonder what they're saying. That's what I used to think. You know, wonder if they're like what I'm preaching or not. And I try to judge by the smile or the frown or what is on the face. Now, you can't do that. Because I'm not responsible for where you are and what you think. So here's what I decided to do. A long time ago, I decided to say this. This would be the thought that comes to my head when I see you whispering while I'm preaching. Boy, that's good preaching. Isn't that a better thought? Okay. So how many knows you can think better thoughts? Because we always, you know, you're always going to think something. When you ever walk into a room and somebody, they just quit talking? Yes. What'd you think? They must have been saying, what a wonderful person I am. Is that what you thought? You might have, if you loved those person, you had the right thoughts toward them. And I know what you're thinking. You just don't know them. Well, here's what... See, you can't grow. You can't get better thoughts if you're always thinking about them. How many knows you got to think about me and him? What God thinks and what... How many knows he said, you are fearfully and wonderfully made in the image of God? How many knows that he said in the heaven, there's a mansion waiting for you. All of you that have claimed the name of Christ. You know, and that's just where you're headed. You're headed to heaven. So you ought to base your thoughts on what God has said about you and not what you think somebody might be saying about you. I told a couple of our leaders yesterday, and we'll go over this in our leadership meeting, but I said, you know, change, and we've been having, we want to go to the next level here at the church, and so we've got this goal set, and to consistently run over 200 in worship on Sunday mornings in less than 2 years, and so we're having to grow another notch, and so we've been having hard talks, and this is what I come up with. You know, when you have a heart-to-heart talk with a friend that you know you're going to have to grow them in the area, it's like changing a dirty baby. How many has ever changed a dirty baby? Let me see your hand. How many said it was a pleasant experience? Let me see your hand. One guy. Okay. We'd like for you to go to the nursery. I think there's a dirty baby. No. It's not a pleasant experience, is it? And it's kind of the way it is when I have to have a heart-to-heart talk. And we've been just having those. Us leaders around here have been having heart-to-heart talks with each other. And the hard talks, you know, about what we need to change, what we need to do, and in the weak areas. And so, but it's been necessary. But here's what I know. You know, if you think the person that's having the hard talk loves you, isn't it easier? Anytime somebody has to have a hard talk with you, if you would think, just think that I believe they're having this talk with me because it's in my best interest. It's gonna grow me. And so that's what we've been doing. But it starts with a thought. And if you have wrong thinking in that area, it can quickly go south. Somebody critiques you and gives you critical, constructive criticism. Is that the way we use? I just say tough words, you know. Call it what you want. But when you change a dirty baby, it's not pleasant, and you don't enjoy it. And here's something that you don't enjoy. You didn't make the mess, so why do you have to mess with it? You know, I didn't cause your weaknesses. Why should I have to address you? You didn't cause my weaknesses. Why should you have to address me? Because we're growing in grace. Because we're trying to reach out and get better and more Christ-like. Here's the second thing. You know, and how many has ever seen the baby just enjoy it? Does the baby enjoy it? You know, you pull their little hiney up, you get that cold thing, and they go, wah! You know, did they enjoy the mess? Do they enjoy the changing? Usually not. It's so funny. Addie says, you know, she's old enough. She's like, ooh, I stink. You sure do. I'm not your mama. Go find your mama. You know. That's a thought. It's a good thought. And so the baby doesn't enjoy it. Well, if the baby doesn't enjoy it and you don't enjoy it, then why do you do it? Here's why you do it. Because the baby needs changing. Change your thoughts. Listen, it's up to you. But if you don't change your thoughts, you'll never change your habits and your actions. And you'll never change the way you're headed. You'll always stay in the same old mess and have the same old problems year after year after year. You got to change. And thank God for people that love you enough to help you change. Just change your thinking about that, okay? Now look in James. And it says in James 1:12, blessed is the man who what? Endures. See, it's not a pleasant thing when you're tempted and you got these things that's bombarding your mind. He realizes it's not pleasant, but it's a growing time, and it's a time to receive blessing if we have the right frame of mind and we have the right thinking going on. Blessed is the man who endures temptation, trials, tests, for when he has been approved, he will receive a crown of life which the Lord has promised to those that love him. And so here's the crown of life. Just think of it this way. When something comes against you that's pressing in your thoughts and it's hard to deal with, think of it this way. This is a test. And look at the end result. God said, this is coming against me. And so if I look over there, it's kind of like Jesus said, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. Well, what was so joyful about a cross? He knew that you and I were on the other side and that he was going to bring us into salvation and into life. He knew he could make a difference in our life. Listen, when we endure temptation and we go through things and trials and tests with the right thinking, just think when we get on the other side, I can help you better. I can be more effective for the cause of Christ. I can be more Christ-like when I get through this. So anything that comes our way, and it's tests and trials and tribulation, if we go into it with the right thought process of helping and being better, kind of like iron sharpening iron, I'll be better when this is over. We can go through it with right thoughts. Is it painful while you're going through temptations, trials, and tests? Of course it is. But we need to get better going through the process. And it starts with thinking, all right, thinking. Let no man say in verse 13, when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. Now, so we need to get this straight. You know, when things happen to us, and you see people blaming God. I've seen people get out of church because they lost a loved one. Somebody wasn't healed that they were praying for. I've lost loved ones that I was praying for that wasn't healed. And I just knew they would be. Just a few years ago, I lost one of my best friends in the world. He was a pastor friend, one of my cousins, and we'd talk ministry. And I loved being able to call him and talk ministry with him, and he died of stomach cancer. And what was so odd about it was God evidently healed him and touched him at one point, and they couldn't find any trace of cancer in his stomach at all. And that was for like 2 or 3 months. And they said, we don't understand, it's gone, and we rejoiced. And then a few months later, he started feeling bad again. They went back in and then x-rayed and took the same test. It was back again. See, I don't understand all that, but I have to keep my thoughts right because I know where he's at today, and I want to get there, and I want to join him in heaven. So what do you do with thoughts that come in there like that? And I, you know, Satan was screaming, well, I thought he was healed. So I have to go back to the Word of God and say, you know what? Let no one say when he is tempted with those kind of thoughts, this is not from God. In other words, I identified that thought is not from God. You know why? Because it wanted to push me out and it wanted to bring division. And it didn't want to bring unity in my relationship with Christ. And so that's one way you can tell. How many knows what the devil has come to do in your life? Tell me what he's come to do. Kill, steal, and destroy. And he does that very well, in case you didn't know. He's very good at what he does. And that's what He's come to do. So anything that comes to rob you of joy, of peace, of relationship, you can just identify that may be Satan. If not, it's certainly worldly, it's carnal, it's carnality. Verse 14, but each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own what? Lusts or desires. Now He did teach us to pray this, our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy what? Will be done. And then he puts this in there. You're thinking about this, he says, lead us not into what? And deliver us from? Do you think there's some temptation out there? Do you think God could lead us into temptation? I do. I believe He leads us into temptation every time He wants to. We're going to go there in just a minute. Jesus said in the garden, He was led of the Holy Spirit to be what? Tempted. Is that God? In the Holy Spirit here doing God's work? Jesus was led of the Holy Spirit in the garden to be tempted. Now, you say, but He said here He wouldn't tempt us. This is where we've got to think. This is where we've got to change our thoughts. God will never tempt you, but He may lead you in some certain point in time into temptation. You say, well, then why do we pray? Because Jesus said, you really don't want to go there if you don't have to. You know, we have the characteristics of our Father. Did you know that? We do as humans. And so we look at our kids, and there's times when brought my grandsons today. Every week we go and eat a donut every other week and bring them to church, and they're a handful. It'd be a lot easier just not go by and get them and spend money on donuts on them, and you know. But you know what I'm doing? I'm building a relationship. And I told Jana the other day, I hate because there's coming a time in the near future that they're going to start driving, and guess what? They're not going to want me to come by and get them. You know? And so I got just a little while, and we'll talk about different things and ask different questions, and I'm trying to form their thoughts. Parents, same way with you and your kids. You know, you better help train them and spend as much time you can forming right thoughts, because the internet and movies and music and whatever else is influencing their thinking today. And if we don't spend enough time giving them right thoughts, then the world will tell them, oh, what your parents are teaching, it's not right. And we'll wonder why they're doing what they're doing. It's really important to have a close bond to your kids and guard that with all your heart so you can put right stuff in their thinking. Amen? Amen. So here we are, and we'll get back to the scripture where Jesus was led in just a minute. But this deals with the flesh. So this part, he says, there's a responsibility on you and on me when it comes to what we think. Whether it's good thoughts or bad thoughts. I believe this, if you get up every morning, and I have a prayer partner right now that God has really just joined me to. He's the national prayer director for his denomination, and I've got paired up with this guy to be a peer coach with him for the next few months. And in fact, he said, I'll just stay with you in this project for 2 years, be your prayer partner and peer coach. And so what a blessing. He sent me some scripture the other day that he was praying in a prayer service the other night. And it's this scripture that I could pray. I've been praying that every morning, and man, it's just powerful. It gets your thoughts and your day set in scripture. Let me encourage you to start getting up and just praying scripture. When you see a verse in the Bible, just pray it over you. Just act like this is me, and I'm Jesus' God's kid, and this is for me. And start putting scripture in your mind and praying scriptural prayers over you and over your family and over your church. It's just been energizing for me. And what it does for your thinking, it gives you an expectancy. Changes your thoughts to something good. How many, you know, just be honest. And if you're going to get healed, you got to be honest. How many just say, you know what, I've had some stressful thoughts lately that I've had to battle, huh? You know, and so if you've had those stressful thoughts, get up and begin to pray prayer. Find your scripture. Read the red. I love to read the red and what Jesus said. Stay in the New Testament and go over in Ephesians. There's some great prayers to pray in there, and Corinthians, that you can pray over yourself and get your thought. Have the Word of God for ammunition and for power and for help. Because you're praying God's Word over you and your family and over your situation. One of the things I've been praying for, Kish's safety as well. You know, that's put in there on there on safety. And then I thought about Yaz. Jeff's going all the time to God knows where. Yeah, that's a part of his calling. He just, you know. And I thought, wow. When you said that, and I thought, we're going to be gone a week. And I thought, how does Yaz do that? See, we don't know what our other brothers and sisters fight, because until it comes to our house, and then, well, your kid, your husband's going to be gone to a different country that you don't know about, and it brings it home, and our thoughts begin to sharpen in that area. Huh? God brings a new realization to us that, you know, we could go and not come back. My wife always asks me that every time I go off somewhere, usually it's with Jeff, and I'll go off somewhere, and is it safe? And I always lie and say, yes. I guess it's safe. How many knows it's safe? If you're in the will of, in God's will, it's safe. Ask the three Hebrew children that marched in the fiery furnace. Is it safe in God's will? I guess so. We're walking around in fire and we're not burning. I guess that's pretty safe, isn't it? Ask David, is it safe in the will of God when you take the giant that's 10 times bigger than you and you've got a little rock and you've got to take him out? Ask David if it's safe. Yeah, but look at that big thing. Yeah, but look, I'm right here in the middle of God's will. Watch this. There's safety in the will of God. See, that's good thinking. That's godly thinking. That's the way it should be, isn't it? In the garden, that's what Jesus, that's the thoughts he had to come to. Is it safe? I'm going to be separated for the first time from my Father. Is it going to be safe? And then when he was on the cross, he said, my God, why have thou forsaken me? But was he safe? Was he safe? He's seated right now at the right hand of God, isn't he? Making intercession for me and you. Accomplished what he came to accomplish and did what he came to do. And now is he safe? There's safety in the will of God. So pray prayers over you and over your family and scriptural prayers. He says in verse 14, each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. And our desires begin with a thought. With a thought. Listen, guys, one of the greatest things I've ever done for my marriage is exalt my wife. I know she's pretty and she smiles a lot at you all, but you make her mad. She's powerful. And sometimes we have, I told them, you know, we never have fought. 36 years we never had a fight. Remember what we've had? Intense fellowship. That's what we have. Intense fellowship. But you know what? The greatest thing I've ever done for our marriage is exalt her. And especially if we're having difficulty together, I exalt her and I just begin to thank God for it. One of the greatest lessons I ever learned in my thought pattern, my thought process, was to exalt her, because this is my life mate, my soul mate. God gave her to me, and yes, we staunchly disagree on this, but you know what? That doesn't change anything about that. And I thank God you've given me such a beautiful wife. She's pretty on the outside and inside, and she loves you, and I love her, and thank you for giving me to her and for our relationship lasting forever. And I just begin to exalt her in my mind. And that has made such a huge difference. It's hard to fight with your spouse when you've got that going on inside. Because here's what happens when you have, we call them good fights, I call them bad fights, but when you really, you know, you can feel that tension and there's that moving apart and things. We allow our thought process to go against our mate. Well, what could I say to cut that off? You know, what could I say to get the upper hand here? What could I tell him or tell her to remind them what I feel in this? How many know? I read a statement by Andy Rooney. How many there watched Andy Rooney on 60 Minutes? Isn't he crusty? I love his little commentaries, though, don't you? Do you like them, you kids? Have you seen them? They're just. You know, he looks like he's 100, doesn't he? But he's got all this. In fact, I got a list. I might read those for you next week that somebody sent me from him. And it's just awesome, the things I've learned by Andy Rooney. But somebody said, you know what? He said, I've learned that it's not about being right in a relationship. It's about just loving that person. golly, you know, it's not about right or wrong. It's just loving that person, isn't it? You know, and that's, but that you can't get there unless you have a right thought. You know, you're not my enemy. Your spouse is not your enemy. The devil's the enemy. And having a right thought, and if you get that process in your mind, you'll have a lot less fights with your spouse, and they'll think you got saved. Sure enough, you got sanctified. You know, the Pentecostal Holiness. I've been hanging out with them up at the college, and they say there's, you know, you're born again, you're baptized, and then sanctification comes somewhere in the process. It's a process of a daily thing, and there's truth to that, but that's the way they think, and it's a crisis experience. That once you're really sanctified, you're sanctified. That's a Pentecostal holiness teaching. But if that's it, I want it. How about you? Verse 15, then when desire has conceived, you know, you had a thought, now your desires are conceived. Here's what it's talking about conceived. It's like to arrest. Have you ever just taken a thought and you arrested that thing? I mean, you just, maybe it's a thought of lust, the thought of greed. Maybe it's at the counter and they give you too much change and you really need the money. And you've arrested the thought of, should I tell them or not? I mean, that's just like right here. And you know what your core values is and your morals are. You know it's morally wrong, but all of a sudden it's like, is that a blessing or is that Satan? I mean, that's what it is. It's Satan, isn't it? It's never right to cheat someone. God, see, that contradicts a principle, a commandment in God's Word. So that's never right. But I'm just saying, our thoughts, we arrest that thought. Because there's a great need in our life, and boy, that would, you know, that would feed me the rest of the week, or that would, whatever that would do. But that's never, and so that's why, if you have this, it's a lot easier to have right thinking and have great thoughts. And that's why we'll pray this over us. We'll have that. How many's ever heard a noise at your house or somewhere at night and you couldn't identify it? You know, the other night we were laying there and I heard something out in the backyard and just an unidentifiable noise. And so Jenna said, "Did you hear that?" She said, "What?" Which is, I was already in the bed. She was getting ready to come to bed. I said, "It's some noise out in the backyard." She said, "What was it?" I said, "I don't know. Go see." No, I didn't tell her that. We just had the little curtains, and I just pulled the curtains too, you know, and I said, "Get them, Jesus." but isn't that something? I mean, in your own environment, if you hear an unidentifiable noise, it's like it arrests your thought. What is that? What is that? Here's an arresting thought. Yesterday morning, she said, "Cold outside." I don't know. She went to the back door without setting the alarm. You know, you can see her running across the house to get to the alarm. We do that. We do that sometimes in life, don't we? Something that it's, we feel like this is going to take me down. Whatever it is, it's something so big. You know, I can't. Dennis was missing the finances. You know, I can't. I'm not going to make it. You know, the IRS. Maybe it's all of a sudden you found out you owe a bunch of money, or I've been there and done that. That's a sinking feeling that you're going under. Sometimes we were in class this week with a sharp bunch of guys and girls in our master's class, and this guy's just flooding us with information. And it's supposed to be building us up. We got through the break, and one of the young pastors, he was there, sharp individual, you know, just he come out and he said, I'm quitting the ministry. I can't do all this." And I thought, wow, isn't that something? It started with the thought. Where did that thought? Because let me tell you, if it comes out of your mouth, you've been thinking it. We can usually read each other what we're thinking about because it'll come out here in some form or fashion. And he kind of said it laughing, but all of us pastors could kind of sense what he was talking about because they give us pages and pages and pages of stuff to do to grow a church. He's like, "I can't do all this." So a thought. Sometimes for what people mean for good, we take it and it has the opposite effect. You ever ask, somebody asked you to do one little simple thing and you thought, "I can't do one more thing, that's it. I'm gonna have a breakdown now." If I had time, I'd just go have a breakdown right now. I can't do one more thing, you know. Where'd you get that thought at? Let me tell you where a lot of those kind of thoughts come from is not thinking properly on what you should be doing. Because if you don't think about what you should be doing, somebody else will think about what you should be doing. And so take that. That's a good thought. If you don't think about what you should be doing and ask God what you should be doing, then the world will say, this is what you need to take on and heap on you, and we can all head to that. But it starts with a thought, and then when the desire is conceived, when that thought is in our mind, and it's like incubating a little baby. You know, you see a newborn and they're struggling, and they put them in these little life support incubation cells. You know, they got the light on them, or they've got oxygen, or they've got tubes running down them. They need help, don't they? You know, and that's what it is. That's what we do to our thoughts, good or bad. That's what we do to thoughts. When we arrest a thought, we capture that thought and it's conceived. In other words, we're giving it a place to take hold in our mind. We're giving it a space. We're pushing things aside and we're giving this space in our thoughts. Are you with me? What are you giving thought to? What are you giving space in your mind to? Is it good thoughts or is it bad thought? Because it's going to produce seed. He said these desires, when they're conceived, it gives birth. Now this one is sin, because this is talking about bad stuff, but you know what? You can take a good thought, a thought with a vision in it, and a thought with God's what He's wanting you to do, and you can incubate that. That's what we're doing right now for growing our church, and taking it, and we're incubating it, and we're doting over it, and giving this thing birth to come up in us and through us. In fact, if you would, I'd like you to put that on your prayer list to pray for our leaders as we just sort through a better structure and system for growth, sustained growth in our church. And I'm so proud of it for stepping up to the plate. So it gives birth, and in this case to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth what? Death. So you think your thoughts aren't important? You think what you're allowing your mind to see and comprehend isn't important? Because whatever you see and whatever atmosphere you're in, it's going to start developing thoughts in your head, and it's going to bring forth, it's going to give life to something, or it's going to bring death, but it's going to produce something. So be very careful about what we allow. Now, go with me to Matthew, the 4th chapter. I want to show you something. Remember we talked about a while ago, will God lead you into temptation? The answer was yes. Matthew chapter 4. So sometimes it's just nothing more than an attack from Satan. I think he gets way too much credit, personally, from Christians. Just thinking Satan is, you know... I mean, the washer breaks in some people's house. Just, Satan's just after us. Well, you know what? The old washer probably needs replaced. Or it just broke, you know. My car broke down. Satan's after me. You all pray. Well, you probably didn't change your oil like you should have, or take care of it. You know, there's maintenance to do. There's, you know, and I'm not saying Satan couldn't do. He's powerful, but I'm just saying most of the time he don't even need any help, because we just think. I think we should have so many blessing thoughts in our mind we don't even go there with Satan. You know, it'd be hard for him to penetrate our faith, because we're blessed. We're blessed in the country. We're blessed in the city. We're blessed going out. We're blessed coming in, because we are the righteousness of God through Jesus Christ. See? That's a different mentality, isn't it? That's a different thought process. And that's what we need to think, because that's what we are. Which is in Matthew 4, verse 1, then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. The leading of the Holy Spirit took him into the wilderness to be tempted. Verse 2, and when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterwards he was hungry. Listen, you got some strongholds in your life that you can't break? Try a little fasting. Fasting just says, God, I am so desperate for this that I'm not partaking of food or water or candy bars or Cokes or caffeine or whatever it is you want to fast until I get a breakthrough and get some relief in this area in Jesus' name. That's hard, isn't it? It's hard to do. Jeff told me about Ian, and I forgot about him going on, you know, leading up to Easter and Lent, giving up something. Little Ian, how old is Ian? 5? And he just turned 5, didn't he, when we were gone. And he said he's going to give up chocolate with his mother because his mother was giving up chocolate for Lent. And I forgot it. And so the kids were here selling candy bars one night. And I bought them all a candy bar and I give Ian one before he went home. And Jeff said they got the car and he's looking at it. Wonder what he's thinking. Wonder what his thoughts are. And so he kind of says, you know, so a great teachable moment. Jeff says, I talked to him about eating that candy bar. And you know what you told mommy about waiting and speaking of the devil. I mean of the professor. And I was just telling him about Ian and his thought process the night I gave him that candy bar and he's supposed to be. And so anyway, he said, well, you can eat it on Sunday. And he put it down and didn't eat it until Sunday. That's a teachable moment, isn't it? See, I did it out of ignorance. I forgot about him even doing that. Jeff had told me, but I gave him the candy bar. I put the temptation right in the kid's hand. Yeah, shame on me. Sometimes the people you love will put the temptation right in your hand. Right in your hand. Maybe you want to give a gift for missions and your wife or husband says, that much? Have you prayed about that? Huh? Sometimes. And sometimes that's just balance, isn't it? But we have to be careful because sometimes God even uses our spouse to help us to say, who is more important, you or me or your spouse? And he's not contradicting them. He knows he won't play second fiddle to anyone. Not anyone. So he's led up by the Spirit going into the wilderness. And he fasted and he prayed he was saying, I want to take off all the world and I want to get in the spirit realm. I want to be focused on what God wants and the will of God. So fasting is good to helping your thought process and taking you through barriers. Verse 4 verse 3, now when the tempter came, and that's Satan, he said to him, if you are the Son of God. Anybody in here ever doubt your salvation once you was a baby Christian? Remember when you first got saved? And then the first time you messed up royally and Satan come to you and he said, Christians don't do that. You're not even saved. You don't have a relationship with Christ or you wouldn't be doing that. And you had the same battle basically in your thought process that Jesus Christ was having and went through that. I never forget a lady in our church. She must have come to the altar 20 times. She just couldn't receive salvation. It's in a Pentecostal church, and they're a little different. But it was hard on her to receive. And sometimes it's hard on us to receive and think that we're worthy through the blood of Jesus Christ. Okay? If you're the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. Now, what did Jesus do? What did He use? Look where His thoughts go when He's tempted by doubt and by Satan coming in and questioning who He is in Christ. Jesus answered and said, it is written. He didn't say, you know what I think about all this, Satan? You know what I'd like? You know what I would rather do? You know what I believe? No, he said, it is what? Written. It is written. If you got some thoughts that you're trying to process and something you're trying to break through, what does God say about it? Begin to pray that over your situation and see how much difference that is than what you think. I don't think I can do this. I don't think I can handle this anymore. I don't think, what does God say about it? Well, God said that I'm more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. Well, why don't you say what God said about your situation? And see if you'll just step in and say, that's right. That's right. How many knows He loves you and He will protect you and help you and bless you because you belong to Him. You're God's property. You're bought with a price. I'm not real big and real mean and I'm older, but if you come up and slap one of my grandkids, you're in trouble. With all the trouble I can give you. Why? Because they belong to me. They don't belong to you. You say, well, you need to whip them more. Well, then talk to me about it. Don't talk to them. Well, you belong to God. You're bought with a price. I mean, is He giving you a new name in heaven? I don't know what it is. Some of you is Bubba. Bubba number 2, precious, I don't know what He calls you, but you get a new, you belong to Him. Calm down, Jen. pace yourself. So he uses the word. He said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And then the devil took him up into a holy city. So first of all, the devil comes to him and trying to change his thought pattern on a great need that he had. He was hungry. Can you imagine how hungry he'd be after 40 days of fasting? And he hit him right at his point of need and tried to deal with his thoughts and get his thoughts going in a different direction on this hunger thing that he's facing. Today, an immediate need. That's where Satan comes in and starts trying to mess with his thoughts. And that's where Satan will come in with you. On a need that's pressing in your life, he'll come in and he'll try to mess with your brain and say, what do you think about that? If God's really God, how come you're going through this? How come you have to deal with that? How come they said this? How come your parents won't let you do that if they're God? You know, if they're so godly. And he'll mess with your brain. Right at your point of need. Then he says, so he couldn't hit him there, so the devil took him up into the holy city, verse 5, and set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and he said to him, if you're the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written. Now, watch this. Talk about mess your thought patterns up. Satan begins to quote Scripture. Isn't that funny when Satan knows more Scripture than some Christians? What if Satan came to you in your situation and quoted your Scripture? Maybe God's trying to take something away from you and you're trying to hang on to it and struggle financially paying for it, and God's trying to take it away, and the devil comes up and says, well, he said he'd bless you coming in and bless you going out, didn't he? If you'll give, you shall receive. Go ahead and give some more and bless them, you know. And so we have to be careful what we're thinking. What does God say? And so what does His Word say? And what is His will for this situation? Because we can get messed up. We get messed up. And so he tries to come in and he's giving him a power challenge as a Christian. There was a guy the other day who was talking, and he goes to our church, and he said, you know, for years and years and years my dad struggled because he was with a group that said if you don't speak in tongues you're really not saved. And he said he never did. And he prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and go to the altar. And he always felt less than the rest of the church. I've dealt with that in my walk. I'll never forget a guy named Earl. He was a precious man. Probably brought more souls to our church than anybody else in our church at the time when he came. He just loved people, and he'd invite them to his Christ all the time. And his wife said, you know, because he didn't speak in tongues, she said, well, you know, someday, honey, you'll get it, and you'll be like, you know. And listen, what happens is people think, well, when you're really spiritual like me, you'll get all I've got. See, I'm not bashing the gifts. These are gifts that God gave to us to operate in the fullness and the power. If that's what you thought, you know, you're in a bad place. What I'm talking about is taking the very gifts that God has given us and not thinking about how we're using them and making somebody else feel less than a full-blown Christian. Here's your thought. How many knows we're talking about thinking today? You know, we're talking about being outward focused. One of the national, they call him a church growth expert. He works with Victory Church that we went to the other night. Somewhere they never did determine between 5,000 and 10,000 members. There's probably a couple thousand kids there the other night when we went in a youth service. So it's a big church. This is what the Pentecostal professor that deals with mega churches and churches all over the world, he said to them, he took us over to Corinthians where he's talking about, he said, in the church, he said, and I'm, you know, most of my students inside this class is Pentecostal. He said, I want to give this to all the Pentecostals, and he's Pentecostal. He's with the Pentecostal Holiness, so he's one of their leaders. And he said to them, he said, this is what I want to ask you. Are you concerned about your gifts, or are you concerned about God's growing His church? And he took us over where Paul said, he said, in the church, I would rather speak 5 words of understanding, because if there's a lost person comes in, they'll think you're mad and they'll leave. Amen. He said, so you have to ask yourself as a group of Pentecostal pastors, do you want to grow your church or do you want to show them what you got? Amen. It got real quiet in that classroom. He said, now, don't stop praying in tongues. He said, I didn't say that and using the gifts. And if God moves in a way, then you move, but you do it so there's an interpretation, so it will edify the body and start using the gift the way Paul encouraged you to use it so he can win your community for the cause of Christ. It's a quiet moment. Do you know what he's doing? He's rearranging our thoughts. Because thoughts matter. Look over at your neighbor and say, thoughts matter. Thoughts matter. So he tries to come up and he's got him now in a power struggle. If you're really Christ and God's given you power, jump off the pinnacle. Look what Jesus said. Jesus said to him, it is what? Written. Not what I think or, well, you know, if it's a different circumstance, now if you used to push me off, I always thought if Satan had pushed him off, Jesus probably would have quoted that same verse as he was falling to the ground. You give your angels charge concerning me and probably would have floated down and just landed on the rock. Now, he may not have, but I just think he had that kind of power to do that because I know he had an assignment and he wasn't through yet. But he came with the word tempting him. And so this power thing... wrong thinking. Then the last thing it says in verse 8, and again the devil took him up on an exceeding high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. For all you in video and high tech, you think, you know, we've got all this high tech stuff today. I don't know how he did it, but somehow way back when, Satan took him up on this high pinnacle of this mountain and shows him all the power in the kingdoms of the world. That's pretty high tech, isn't it? I don't think we can do that. I mean, if we did, it'd take networking all over the world to do that, to broadcast, you know, where you could see all. But that's what he did. So if you think Satan's not powerful, you might want to rethink. Because he took him up. And I don't know how he did it. Didn't go into details, but said he showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. He said to him, all these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. Jesus said, away with you, Satan, for what? It is written. How many knows it really doesn't matter what you think? Well, what really matters as a Christian is what God thinks, isn't it? What God says about you. That's what really matters. It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and Him only shall you serve. Then guess what happened? The devil left him, and behold, the angels came and ministered to him. So it's important, church, that we get this inside of us. One of our assignments right now is to memorize Scripture and to quote them to our peer coach. And doing that last week was our first time to do that. And you know what I found? It just makes the Scripture more alive. When you have to repeat it and you really meditate on it, thinking about it and quote it over and over and over and over. And I want to challenge you just to do that some. Not lengthy, but get you a verse this week and just memorize it and get it ingrained in your heart because it'll help your thought process and everything else you do. It'll help you. Because you've got something good memorized and embedded inside of you. I'm gonna close for there. Write down these two scriptures. Proverbs 16:3. Commit your ways unto the Lord and your thoughts will be established. Commit your ways unto the Lord and your thoughts will be established. So what you do is a powerful connection in what you're thinking. Did you get that? What you do, commit your ways unto the Lord, and your thoughts will be established. Okay? So that they're both connected. And then write this one down. 2 Corinthians 10:3-5. And he talks about taking every thought captive that exalts itself against against God and everything that's godly. It says that's your responsibility and my responsibility to take those thoughts captive. Okay? So we have a part in this through the power of Jesus Christ. Does thoughts matter? Absolutely. And that's why we need to start saying, you know what? Whatever God says in this Bible, that's what I am. My prayer partner gave me some scripture to pray, and I've been putting my name and your name in them this week and praying that over you all. And it's been so powerful. And so I want to challenge you to do that. Let's pray, and then we're going to have a couple of things we need to do today. Father, I thank you today for the power of thought. And if there's some in this building today, Lord, that they've just felt such pressure in areas in their life, they're stressed, they're worried, they're saying, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know if this is going to change. I don't know how I'm going to get over this. I don't know how I'm going to get past this. Maybe it's their schedule. Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe it's financial. Maybe it's physical. But their thought process today needs to be changed. It needs to be turned around to a godly mindset, a victorious mindset through the power of God. And I pray over them right now. And if you're here today, if you'd just lift your hand, I'd like to say a prayer over you. If there's something in your thought process you need to say, thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? Father, for those that have lifted their hands, say thank you. I pray in Jesus' name. Today, Lord, is a new day in their life, and I pray in Jesus' name that you would help them, according to your word right now, by faith, reach out and take those thoughts captive and say, in the name of Jesus, I take those thoughts captive, not through my power, but through His power. I'm a child of God, and God has given me the authority to take these thoughts captive and to break them through the anointing of the yoke of the Holy Spirit. And so I break them today, and I bind them in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord, that the process has started. Today I'll think new thoughts. Today I will look at it from a biblical view. Today I'll know that you said I am more than a conqueror, and I will come through this. Today I will say that I can do all things through Christ. And so today, at least my process today of my thinking is changed by the power and the grace and the help of God. Now do this with me. Say, Lord, in Jesus' name, I commit my ways to you in this specific area so my thoughts will be established in Jesus' name. See, that's a biblical prayer you just prayed over your situation. And that's what we're talking about doing. Is beginning to say, I'm going to start agreeing with God's Word. I know what it looks like in my life, but I'm going to start agreeing with God's Word so I can get victory over this in Jesus' name. Okay? And then just begin to commit your ways to Him and say, Lord, show me how to change this. Show me how to change this and make it better today in Jesus' name. Before we take communion today, I want to do this.